It won't be resolved until after next fall's presidential election. It's certain to be chewed over on the campaign trail leading up to next November. And its unveiling today sounded a little like a campaign stump speech, but today President Obama did unveil his spending blueprint for next fiscal year. The president spoke at Northern Virginia Community College to highlight some of the budget's education initiatives, including an $8 billion job training plan for community colleges and a plan to cut funding to schools that don't rein in tuition costs.
So what we're saying to states, colleges, and universities, if you can't stop tuition from going up, then funding you get from taxpayers will go down. Because higher education cannot be a luxury. It is an economic imperative that every family in America should be able to afford. That's part of the American promise in the 21st century.
Let's start today with a look at the budget and then get a sense of which Republican presidential candidates will be left to tear it apart as the campaign continues. Naftali Ben-David covers Congress for the Wall Street Journal. He joins us from Washington. And Naftali, I'm not being flip. I mean, Republicans were already tearing the budget apart this weekend. As you know, House Budget Committee Chair Paul Ryan saying it doesn't have enough cuts. The president's chief of staff, Jack Lew, responding, it's not the time for austerity. The economy's too fragile. Is this pretty much laying out the debate for the next several months?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, in some ways, it's a restatement of a fight that we had last year where the president says, look, here's how I'd like to do things. I'd like to raise some taxes. I'd like to cut some spending. We need to get the deficit down by $4 trillion over 10 years. And Republicans coming back and saying, no, new taxes under any circumstances are a bad idea. And more broadly, the Democrats talk about fairness. The Republicans say the Democrats are dividing the country. So in some sense, it's just a restatement of what we had last year, with the key difference being now we're in an election year. And so a lot of what this was a framing of the debate to come. And I think you heard a little bit of that in the president's speech. It sounded like a campaign speech. I think it probably was a campaign speech. And so somehow the rollout of the budget got very much conflated with the campaign message.
Yeah, but there actually is a budget. So let's just take a quick look at some of the proposed cuts, at least. I mean, some of them we'd heard of, you know, the Pentagon trimmed. But the State Department and foreign aid growing to $51.6 billion with a new $770 million Middle East and North Africa fund. So we're learning a little more there. What else did you notice about, you know, who wins, who loses in the cuts?
Well, yeah, there are definitely some cuts. You know, NASA, the EPA, they're undergoing cuts. Those are not huge surprises. But, you know, the president presented this as key targeted spending. So in areas like education, as we saw, of course, it's not an accident that he chose to roll this out at a community college.
Sure.
But also infrastructure, also roads. I mean, he's presenting this as sort of wise investments in things that will help grow the economy, even while more broadly we try to get the deficit down. Of course, from the Republican perspective, you know, they say, here it is, more spending. That's not what we need to be doing. This is a battle that, you know, we've seen and that we'll continue to see.
We'll stay on education for a second, because as we heard, the president pledging to hold schools accountable for tuition costs. Now, total student loan debt has surpassed credit card debt for the first time. Students who graduated in 2010 had an average student loan debt of $25,000. That's up 5% from the previous year, while looking at this huge, for them, you know, 9.1 unemployment rate. So talk a little more about that plan.
Well, this is something that he has talked about in the past. I mean, he's trying to keep tuition rates down. So that's one thing he's trying to do. He's also trying to ease, the student loan debt that you've mentioned. But I think more broadly, he's trying to say that investments in education, strategic investments in education, while, yes, they come off as expenditures, they lay the foundation for future growth. So that's something he rolled out an education plan, you know, a few weeks ago. Some of that's been incorporated into this budget. That's a lot of what this is about. And, you know, similar debates are going on, for example, on things like roads, like infrastructure, energy, where you have the president saying we've got to make these expenditures in order to ultimately help the economy do better, and Republicans taking the opposite point of view.
Right. And I just want to point out one thing that jumped at us and some other analysts. I'm not sure if this means anything to you, but there was an increase for pipeline safety, an estimated $276 million. Some might read into that, 60% increase to hire more inspectors and standardized state programs. Some might read into that, oh, this is as the president is considering the Keystone Pipeline.
Oh, totally, yeah. I mean, I think that's very much in that context. You know, he's considering a pipeline that has become a bit of a political issue. It would go from Canada down to Texas. And there's a lot of concerns of environmentalists that it could cause harm. And so I don't want to make any predictions, but it wouldn't be impossible that he would then approve that pipeline in the months to come. I think he's made it clear he's not going to do it before the election, but that he'd approve it, but be able to tell environmentalists, I'm doing this at the same time that I'm increasing safety inspections, and that might be a way to kind of finesse what's been a very difficult issue for him.
Yeah. Well, and what about long term? I mean, these are some of the immediate things. And again, you know, Congress has to weigh in on this, but so, you know, some of this may never come to pass. But when you talk about long term, what about taxes, for instance? You talked about raising taxes on people. Is this just the proposal again to raise taxes on income of over $1 million a year?
Yeah, it's more or less the same thing. I mean, it does a couple things. It lets the Bush tax cuts expire for upper-income people, but it also vows to incorporate in ways that I don't think are entirely clear this Buffett rule, this idea that, you know, millionaires shouldn't be paying less in taxes than, you know, ordinary working Americans. That's a message that's become very important to Democrats, and they feel like it's something that can resonate. So both of those things would be incorporated. You know, that is one of the major friction points. Republicans, for the most part, argue that taxes should never be increased. And they also, you know, they talk a lot about this idea of class warfare. They don't really like the idea of treating different classes differently, of talking about them as though they are groups of people whose interests are pitted against one another. So it's a real difference in the framing of the issue during the campaign.
Well, President Obama addressed that again today. He said this is not class warfare. You know, in the past he said this is common sense. But I'm hearing over the weekend, I think I heard at least one or two people say, is anyone else tired of hearing of Warren Buffett's secretary? what do polls show? I mean, how are people responding to this?
Well, they're responding relatively well, which is why the president keeps on talking about it. And, you know, Warren Buffett's secretary is a way to kind of, I guess, make the point more vivid. There actually is a Warren Buffett's secretary. I mean, she really exists. Mm-hmm. And she came to the State of the Union address, and she sat in the First Lady's box. And I think Democrats see this as a way to kind of make the point more real, that they're real people that we're talking about here. And, of course, Warren Buffett, the reason they pick him is because he himself has said, I shouldn't be paying a lower tax rate than my secretary does. Mm-hmm. So that's not an accident. But really, both sides always search for ways to humanize the points that they're trying to make. And, you know, overall, this idea that, you know, the wealthy have a sweet deal, that there's a fairness issue here, is definitely resonating a little bit. And to me, that shows that the Occupy movement, for all that it's not going to accomplish a ton of things in terms of electing people the way the Tea Party movement did, I think it's really changed the conversation. And you even hear some Republicans talking about, you know, fairness issues and issues of inequity. Mitt Romney said something like he wants to help the, I think he didn't say 99%, but he said 95%. So, I mean, there's no question that the overall discussion has changed since that Occupy movement arose.
And Naftali, just briefly, these long-term cuts, you know, the Republicans saying we're still going to have, you know, over a $1 trillion deficit for the fourth year in a row. Democrats saying, the White House saying, well, sure, but down the road we're going to bring it down. But isn't one of the ways they're bringing it down, the projection is because of winding down two wars?
Well, that's this huge debate that's going on, is whether or not you count war savings, because surely we are going to be spending less because the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq are winding down. So in that sense, they are real savings. But what Republicans say is, well, but those are savings that were going to happen regardless. So to sort of take credit for that and to use that in a way to sort of justify further spending doesn't make sense. And so whether or not the war spending is a gimmick or is a real thing that you can fairly count, we're going to be hearing a lot more about that.
Naftali Ben-David, who covers Congress for The Wall Street Journal, and we will be hearing, yes, a lot more about the president's budget proposal, which is really the debate as the campaign for next November goes forward. Naftali, thanks so much.
Okay, thanks for having me.